Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish, I'm being shady-ish.
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring! You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation, our 15th week on the airwaves. We've actually exactly mirrored Donald Trump's time in office. I don't know what that says about our show, about what's happening in the world, but nonetheless, here we are, week 15 with another stellar show. I've got my brilliant co-host Jake Baker in the studio. Then down the line, our mystery guest, a viral sensation, an inventor of a dance craze. We'll have Russell Horning, perhaps better known as Backpack Kid. We'll talk to him, whether you know him or not, it'll be interesting. We'll find out about his history and what he's up to now. And then previously with this parish, Joey Page will be returning to FUBAR Radio to talk about his tour, the dates left from his tour, what he's been doing, how FUBAR has changed since he's been on the way airwaves. And as always, we'll be getting into the news, seeing what's been happening, and just having a bloody good time. That's the Pulse of the Nation promise. And of course, it's been Easter. It is Easter Tuesday. I don't know if that's a thing, but here we are, the Tuesday after our Easter weekend. I hope you had a lovely bank holiday. The royal family gathered in Windsor for their annual Easter Sunday service. Although slightly unusually this year, it was not overseen by the Archbishop of Canterbury. As is normally tradition, the church is yet to appoint a replacement after Justin Welby stepped down in his role in handling child sex abuse allegations. But not willing to let the occasion go without a sex abuse scandal, Prince Andrew did at least attend. He actually wanted to show his face earlier on Ash Wednesday, but sadly, instead of an ash cross, somebody disturbed the word nonce on his forehead, so he had to sort of, you know, sit out for a little bit. So speaking of, you might think this is either a very amusing transition or very disrespectful. But that's the sort of Pulse of the Nation line we tread. We, of course, cannot address the news without the death of His Holiness Pope Francis. Having met J.D. Vance just 2 days earlier, the Pope passed away yesterday, having been sort of Liz Truss by J.D. Vance, shall we say, sort of that a la Liz Truss killing the Queen sort of process. And, you know, we now got this sort of vacuum of power. We're going to find out who the new Pope's going to be, which frail old man is going to take over. Everyone's trying to work out, is the frail old man going to be a little bit homophobic and sexist, or a lot homophobic and sexist? And, you know, there's sort of a lot of expectation to see who it will be. And obviously there's sort of a tradition with the smoke and everything, but I actually think a la the sort of late, I've been using Allah a lot in this sort of, maybe I shouldn't be talking about Allah with talks about the Catholic Church. What I mean is, in the late 2000s, there was this beautiful thing where Andrew Lloyd Webber would be looking for the next star of his musical theatre shows, and he'd sort of get different women to battle it out, and then he'd like take their shoes away from them if they were trying to be Dorothy, and there was one for Nancy and Oliver. And I think we should just have that. I just think we should have all these popes perform for Andrew Lloyd Webber, and if he doesn't like you week on week, we'll phone in and vote, and he'll take away your big pointy hat. And that's sort of how we'll work it down. I think that's what we should do. That's my suggestion for the next pope voting process. And of course, I sort of touched on it last week, but it was sad. It was sort of confirmed after we broadcast, so I never really got to fully get into the Supreme Court ruling of whether a woman is a woman or is a, you know, all this sort of stuff that just, well, I don't think it was very clear, but according to our Prime Minister Keir Starmer, just today he has come out in defence of the Supreme Court ruling. I'm going to read you verbatim the quote from Keir Starmer. "This has given us clarity, much needed clarity. It's a much clearer position. I'm really pleased that the court has now clarified the position. The court has made that absolutely clear. I actually welcome the judgment because I think it gives real clarity." I'm skipping out a few sentences, but this is verbatim within one answer to a journalist. "It allows those that have got to draw up guidance to be really clear about what the guidance should say. It's real clarity in an area where we did need clarity. I'm pleased it's come about." So there you go. Lots of clarity. This is obviously very clear and obvious. And because it's clear and obvious, that means, of course, VAR is allowed to intervene, vaginal auditing regime. Now, what I love about this sort of ruling is the malicious compliance has come about from lots of trans folk, because, of course, now trans men will be forced to sort of go into female spaces. But these are trans men who are fully transitioned. They have, you know, they're musclier and hairier and manly than I. And, you know, you want them in female spaces, and they're quite willing to do it just to prove the point. And I like that. You know, we could, of course, just settle this with common sense. Indeed, we were managing with common sense. But no, we need to go to this ill-informed judgment that heard, by the way, from no trans people. It just seems like bad sort of malpractice of law to make the decision without ever consulting the people that you're making the decision about. But I suppose it's not out of character for Britain to rule from afar without consultation and ruin people's lives. Yes, ease your heart out, Daily Mail comments. I am pro-trans and anti-colonialist. I guess I just believe in self-determination. Bridget Phillipson, the Education Secretary and Minister for Women and Equalities. Multitasking, there you go, as all biological women are allowed to do. Of course, stereotypes. Now, we go back to that. We don't routinely police toilets, is what she said. We don't routinely police toilets. It's for businesses, including pubs, to decide how they run their premises. But I would hope that businesses would make sure that there is a safe and appropriate place for all people to use, including trans people, who deserve dignity and respect. Let's be clear. Bridget, we've been nothing but clear. This has just been pure clarity, non-stop clarity, 100% clear crystal clarity. Now, the problem with this is you leave it up to pubs and businesses. First of all, most pubs and businesses don't have the space for toilets. They minimise what they offer anyway. They absolutely sort of like, you know, get away with the bare minimum. And the worst thing is we shouldn't be leaving it to pubs and businesses, because these are the people that are behind the surge of quirky toilet labelling. I'm sure you've seen this, you know, we're all fine with the stick figures with a dress or with not a dress or just saying ladies and gentlemen, whatever, that's fine. But no, there is now a trend where every sort of toilet has to be a little bit fun, you know, it has to be laddies and lassies. Far too confusing, especially when you're pissed. And I hate it. You see these sort of wanky little bistros, you know, you go downstairs, you've got to solve a Sudoku to work out where you're pissing, right? Busting for the loo. Just going, oh God, do I identify more as a pelican or a vole? It's awful. Right? All these hackney bistros. We shouldn't leave them in charge of making these toilet decisions, right? Worst one ever saw in my life. This one pub, right? They had their label, they label their toilets like this. Beautiful boys. Gorgeous girls. Disabled. That's the sort of people you want making common sense decisions about all this. I just think there is no clarity, despite what Keir Starmer says. I very much look forward to the legal challenges that come forth from this ruling. I believe there is already things in motion. On lighter news, before we get into our weekly parking anger, this headline caught my eye. Miniature railway opening date postponed. The opening date for a planned miniature railway attraction in South Gloucestershire has been pushed back, and it's just nice to know that even on a microscopic level, Britain is consistent with its travel projects. And we finished, as we talk about travel, with a parking story every week, and this is a parking story that caught my eye over in West London. Fury as posh Londoners wake up to find their council has replaced their parking spaces with e-bike bays, only for cyclists. To ignore them, whilst only for cyclists, you have to remember this is a Daily Mail headline, which means it is about 8 paragraphs long. Only for cyclists to ignore them while drivers have nowhere to stop. So this, of course, is the rise of sort of Voi and all these electric scooters, electric bikes. Now, I know in theory it's good for the environment, but I despise the electric scooters. Maybe the electric bikes not so much, but the electric scooters, I despise these things. You know, we could have achieved so much over lockdown. You think 2020, we had a chance to reshape our entire society, how we operate as a world. And what do? We mobilised cunts. That's all we did, right? We took the worst dickheads you know, stuck a motor under them for 15p a minute, download an app, ruin everyone's day. That's all we did with these bloody mobile scooters. I hate it, right? They introduced where I live in Portsmouth. A very flat city, ideal for cycling and scootering. I understand the appeal. But these people, they don't have any sort of road safety. They don't have any sort of common sense, not to go back to that phrase. But they don't, using these e-bikes and scooters. I was driving along. There was two women on one scooter weaving in and out of the traffic, pissed at like 2 p.m. And so, you know, I had to give them my mind. Now, this is something you might know about me if you listened to the show before. I love musical theatre. That musical theatre love undermines my road rage. I have a lot of road rage. I cannot hold both to be true at the same time, because what happened was, as I go to yell at these women, my phone decides that it's the perfect time to shuffle the opening number of Beauty and the Beast. Yes, so I'm there like, you got a fucking death wish, there goes the baker with his tray like always. So I want to take this opportunity, sans musical theatre soundtrack, to tell you that I am on the side of these posh Londoners. The rise in e-bikes and e-scooters, I'm not a fan of it. I wonder whether my co-host today has thoughts. I know he's a driver, he might have some parking grounds. He might have some road rage within him. Jake Baker, hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
I can't imagine you being a very rageful person in any sort of sense, but how are you
pretty,
on the roads?
Pretty chilled. I'm pretty chilled, I think. Not too much road rage.
No.
I think I'd be too frightened of it becoming a confrontation at a traffic light or something, that I would be followed.
Yeah, you have to sort of know what's coming up in terms of, you want to clear get away.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'd maybe flip people off on the motorway. Yeah. Then you're like, I've got a good 100 miles to get away from this person. But round town, I'd be absolutely terrified of being, particularly, you know, the scooters and stuff are more manoeuvrable. I think I'd be outpaced by most scooters, frankly, in my little Polo.
And I suppose that, yeah, they have that sort of advantage of like having a sort of James Bond go through the alleyways, cut you off at the next.
Exactly. Yeah.
But do you think, do you see many e-bike users and think, oh, they're angling for a fight?
It's not a particularly tough posture, is it, an e-bike?
No, I guess. I think you could take on, I wouldn't back you in many fights, I would be honest. But I think you could take on an e-bike
take
user.
On e-bike. Yeah, maybe. They're quite hard to steer.
Mm-hmm.
So on foot. So I'd abandon the car.
Yeah. Okay, already. Your car's been stolen. Yeah, You've lost your vehicle.
I've annoyed an e-bike guy. I've got out the car.
Yeah.
Because I feel I'm a sitting duck in the car in London traffic.
Yeah.
And I've gone, I mean, you just go grass and then they're fucked.
Yeah, that is a good point, actually. They are. But this is another problem. If you are in London, where's the grass?
That's true. There's a few parks near I live. Okay. And I just have to stand in the middle of the park and wait for them to get bored and leave. I think that's...
Would they also just not abandon their e-scooter? Oh, then I suppose
they're very arrogant people.
Yeah, true. Also, you have to look for somewhere to park it, and then it becomes a bit of a nightmare.
And then someone else would come and put 50p in it and drive it off, and then they'd be screwed.
I like the idea that it's a coin-operated system.
I don't know, I've never used one. I assume it is.
It's just an app. You just scan a QR code.
Oh.
But I like this. I also love this image of just you stood in the middle of park, just sort of like...
Being circled.
Yeah.
Like some sharks going around me.
Yeah. So I wouldn't get into a confrontation. Having said I back you, I think you're going to get your car stolen.
I think I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough fight physically, but I think I'm quite tactically astute.
Okay. Yeah, so I can see that.
I think I'd.
You got the brains.
Yeah, I'd wear them down. Just some sort of running
a war
away.
Of attrition.
Yeah, that's right.
Most road rage is quite instant, but no, you really like to. Sort of a siege mentality.
That's right.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
As you can probably tell from the monologue, this is broadly newsy. It can really go in any direction. We very rarely stick to the news. Are you a news person? Do you follow what's happening?
Yeah, I try to. I think I consume a lot of news stuff, but actually quite how much of it I retain is...
It's like wash over you.
Yeah.
That
when I'm then asked a question, 40 minutes later after I've listened to a podcast, I'm like... Oh yeah, I know. I don't know.
You're a podcast news person.
Podcast news person. I don't read news particularly. I consume it in the ears.
Orally, yes. A-U-R-A-L-L-Y.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, we'll see how well you know the news data. We've got some headline quizzes and stuff like that. And now you are going to Edinburgh, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, in the Fringe in August. Yeah.
With my Jakey Bakey heart.
My Jakey Bakey heart. Yeah, I finally caved in and have done a jokey pun title based on a song.
Yeah.
So.
What's it about?
Nothing much at the moment. I mean, I sort of had, when I did put in the title, I had the vague idea of going, oh, okay, maybe I'll try and do a personal show about love or something. But that isn't what I've really been writing about too much.
It's interesting. You can set out to write whatever you want.
Yeah.
But subconsciously, you know really what you want to write about and what you want to talk about. Is there any common theme apart from that's not love that's come out?
Yeah, maybe a bit, maybe sort of masculinity a little bit, I guess. Maybe that's quite highfalutin, but it seems to be quite a conversation going on at the moment about masculinity. Yeah. And I thought I would add my slightly whimsical nonsense to the conversation.
Yeah, well, I suppose that ties in with our road rage conversation. Yeah,
it's very heated, so I thought I'd make it more silly.
I think that's perfect. You're the perfect antidote to any sort of heated argument.
Okay, yeah.
You do funny whimsy very, very well.
I saw your show
in Edinburgh a couple of years ago. And I will endeavour to see it again. Jakey Bakey Heart at Cannon's Gate, 4:30 every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. Lovely stuff. So yeah, go check out Jake at the Fringe. We'll be back after the break with our mystery guest. Were you familiar with our mystery guest?
I'm familiar with his work, but I wouldn't, if you'd have said, do you know this person's name? I wouldn't have known that. But well, I know of his work.
His name is Russell Horning, and we're going to meet him after this break.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. Well, we are at a floss. At a loss. It's good stuff. Thank you. Unfortunately, Russell has not yet joined our Zoom call. So we're just going to sort of talk until he gets here, basically. And if he doesn't get here, we'll plow on without him anyway. Who needs him? Although, actually, I hear you've had a bit of a sort of history with flossing.
I've seen it done.
Seen it done.
I've
okay.
seen it done.
I want to use your exact words from the break. Transfixed.
Okay. My first experience with flossing was at my sister's wedding about 5 or 6 years ago, when one of the little children that's often at weddings was invited. Not,
there's always children at weddings. No one knows who they belong to. Yeah. They just sort of scamp about.
Was flossing to, I don't know, cheese was being played, and I thought it was fascinating. Just like it's sort of like a Newton's cradle.
The way it goes back and forth.
Yeah. Just sort of find
it. So you
were
quite mesmerised.
Quite hypnotic, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when he first came to fame, he was doing it with Katy Perry to, Swish, swish, swish. I don't know if you're familiar with that song. Yes,
yeah,
I've got it on my keys here, very excitingly. I can do all sorts. Well, actually, there's only two things loaded into this, so I can't do all sorts right now. But normally, I can, anything you want, boom.
Sure. What's the other one? Or is that a surprise?
It's the other one is also swish, swish, but longer. Here you go. Swish, swish, bish. So he's there sort of like flossing to this with Katy Perry on Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
That's his...
I'm very excited.
I don't know whether it's better or worse to big him up even more. I don't know whether we're setting ourselves up for failure, you know. We're like, oh, he's actually genuinely really famous, and then he just doesn't turn up. He just blanks us.
It'd be sad.
He's a 22-year-old kid. I don't know why he...
So how did he end up on Saturday Night Live?
So he went viral. I think he had 500,000 Instagram followers before he even, came to, international fame, I guess.
Okay.
And Katy Perry put him in a music video, and then Saturday Night Live put him in this...
Did he go to space just now?
Well, I wanted to ask him what his thoughts on Katy Perry.
Does Katy Perry still call? And is that the question we can ask him?
The first people she called coming back down from space, one of them was Backpack Kid.
Yeah, I made it. It's fine. I'd floss in space.
Yeah, that's what... Well, yeah. What... Sorry, I was about to go this flight of fancy of what people we should send up to space. I think the overall reaction to last week's Blue Origin trip is that we should stop spending people into space. So maybe we should. It would be even more frivolous to send a 22-year-old meme dancer.
Yeah. I think you know, the people we should be sending into space is like scientists.
Yeah,
to study it. To work out what's happening.
But. Well, look, we're in luck because here he is down the line now. We've been vamping, waiting for your arrival. We're very excited to have you in the studio. Hello, Russell. How are you?
Hey.
Thank you for joining
us. Pretty good over here on this end. How's everybody doing over there?
Good. Yeah, we're good. Thank you. We appreciate you joining. We know it's like 9 a.m. or something where you are. So thank you for getting up and joining us.
Yeah, 9:20. But I'm in the middle of downtown. So we get stuff going over here in the city.
Nice. Yeah. Well, what are you up to now? You're working hard on lots of different stuff since you rose to fame doing the floss. What are you up to nowadays?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for asking. So yeah, when I started to kind of grow up and I saw that a viral moment doesn't last as long as you think it will, for the most part, especially because, you know, when it comes to social media, things they go as fast as they come. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of the culture of today's society. And it's not like the 80s or the 90s, where if you become a famous artist or famous actor or something, it kind of sticks for a lot longer, like what you did, because there's not as much going on, you know. But it also takes longer to kind of get up to that point. But to answer your question, since I started kind of growing up and phasing out of the dance a little bit, I knew I didn't want to just be like some gimmicky icon, social media guy for the rest of my life. So I knew I needed to start discovering the things that I like to do. What are the things that I want to start putting my creative energy into for not just a year or two or three, but the rest of my life? So I started going through a phase where I started trying a whole bunch of different things. I started playing piano, for example. That was one of the things that I found that I fell in love with very, very quickly, and that I wanted to start kind of put in a lot of my creative energy into that. I started getting into DJing. I started getting into acting. I got some acting agents now. Social media, I'm still doing social media as well, but just kind of in a new light, more so for, you know, positive and motivational purposes rather than, hey, everybody, look at me, do the dance.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it always takes time to, you know, great things take time. So I'm still kind of building myself back up. I still have hopes and dreams of making it and being successful one day. You got to keep that same energy like you've never done anything to really, you know what I'm saying, keep yourself in that mind space of, we got to be out here.
Keep going, yeah. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, I started getting into TV and film composition as well. That's been a fun kind of route for me.
Yes, I saw you composed for the film Hit List. You composed some music for that. Very exciting.
Yes.
Interesting.
It's been a blast. And we have the Atlanta Film Festival coming up this week. I'm going to go out there and just kind of network with everyone and try to get some more acting or composition work if I can. I'm very, if I would say there's any one thing that I'm pushing to my hardest, it would be to get more composition work, just because it inspires me. I could sit there and play piano for hours, and I do. There's popular spots around Atlanta that I like to just sit at my piano and just play for fun. I practice at home all the time. Mm-hmm. So on a nice weekend when it feels good outside, I'll go out and just like, I'll have my Meta Ray-Ban glasses and get content as well. And it's just a nice vibe, but it's very cool to kind of see people coming up and interacting with me, and they'll know who I am.
Yeah.
But be like, oh, I didn't know you played piano, or oh, I'm glad you kind of moved on and started to do a new thing. And, you know, sometimes I'll get a couple of wackos that'll come up to me too and just be like, hey, dance. Hey, let me see you dance real quick. Let me see you dance. And I'll just kind of keep playing in their face. You know, you always have those types of people. But yeah, for nowadays, I mean, at least as of now, I'll do the dance for two strict reasons only. If it's for a specific purpose, like I teamed up with a nonprofit and we do mental health assemblies around different high schools and middle schools around all the state of Georgia. And we're trying to get to other states as well around the Southeast. But it's also been another thing that I've been working on, and that's been a lot of fun. And the kids love it. They love seeing me come in and just kind of like share a positive word of positive mental health. And doing these has been a great thing too. And yeah, I'll do the floss in front of these middle school high school kids. Cause it'll kind of help them remember the message that we're saying a little bit stronger, you know? So for something like that, yes, I'll for sure do the dance. Or if it's to make money to reinvest back into the things that I'm trying to do for my future career, then I feel like that's a positive way of doing it too. But I'm not just sitting here on social media all day long, just flossing, 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 flossing. Hey, everybody, look at me. Hey, everybody, look at me. Help me get back famous as much as I used to be when I was 15, 16 years old, doing it all the time. Everybody, look at me. Everybody, look at me. Everybody, look at me. Nah, it's just not my vibe.
Yeah,
anymore.
You want a more long lasting. I totally understand that. You know, the viral fame, as you say, short lived. Sort of like a Katy Perry flight into space does not long last very long. What do you?
So proud of her for that. So
yeah, we were going to ask, because obviously you're you are associated with Katy Perry in many ways. You in her music video. You were on Saturday Night Live when she performed. Do you still keep in touch with Katy Perry?
So the funny thing is, people think we're like best friends, or we were for a certain period of time. But the funny thing is, I personally have never had any contact with her outside of just in person. And I think I've met her three times, and that's all I've ever heard from her. But I guess, you know, I was like 15 at the time. So I don't know if she just wanted to be talking to a minor. Or,
you've got to be careful with pop stars. You never know.
Being a 15-year-old in the entertainment space as well. She said that she just kind of saw me on Instagram one day, just doing my thing, doing my dances, and she wanted to have me out on the show. And she's the most amazing human being ever. She's so inspiring because she treats people so like normal and nice and fair, even nicer and normaler and fairer than the people that don't have any fame or money.
Yeah.
Very inspiring. She just sat there and kind of had like a long conversation with my mom while she was getting her hair done by 30 people at the same time.
Yeah.
Very inspiring, very nice lady. She deserves everything that's ever came to her.
Well, that's very lovely. It's always nice to hear of good celebrity stories. Jake, my lovely co-host here, was just talking about his first experience of the floss at a family wedding. You are sort of like an inspiration for so many people to take up this dance. It's got everywhere. Do you have any questions for the originator of this massive trend?
Yeah, I guess I'm sort of vaguely aware of it through the like Fortnite and stuff as well. Like, yes. How did the Fortnite thing happen? It was just whoever saw it went, oh, that's good. Let's put it in the game.
So that was also kind of just a random thing in the moment. I remember I was just playing Fortnite one day, and then the new Battle Pass came out. It was like season 2 or season 4 or something. That's when Fortnite was like hot at its hottest, I think. One of its hottest, at least for culture and gaming purposes. We did the Pro-Am in 2018 or 2019, I think, where we team up with a streamer, influencers do, and we try to get to first place in a Battle Royale game. We got to, like, 10th place. That was pretty cool. But, yeah, so they just kind of added the dance in the game, and then it became this whole thing with, like, a lawsuit. My mom and my manager were like, hey, y'all are making millions of dollars off of this kid. Mm. Give us some type of compensation for it, because obviously – he's the originator and the person that is known to be doing the dance, give us some money. And me, as you know, kind of the face of the operation, I'm the one that kind of took all the heat. Obviously, when a lawsuit like that comes around, oh, you're taking my floss dance away in the game. What are you doing this for? I'm not going to have the floss anymore because of you. And me as a 15, 16 year old, I just wanted to play the game. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about making the money from it or suing them or what. I didn't know anything. Like, they were like, they just asked permission off of my behalf. I'm like, y'all are the adults. Y'all do what the adults do. I'm a kid. I'm going to do what the kids do. And that was just play the game. And so we ended up going through the lawsuit, and we found out pretty early on, after we paid the lawyers a lot of money, that you can't copyright a dance.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's no copyright. Mm. There's no case. Case closed, boom, nothing.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
That's in the news at the moment. Kelly Hayer is suing Roblox for taking her Apple dance, so I assume eventually she'll find out what you found out. Now, you've trod a path very few have trod. You've got this viral fame very early on. You've gone through so many different sort of experiences, including, you know, maybe the lawsuits, maybe the unhappier side of it. But it's a lot to get so famous and so big at 14, 15 years old. Now you're 22. It's great that you're carving your own path, finding your own future. What recommendation would you give to somebody seeking viral fame? What one last bit of wisdom could you offer before we wrap up?
I would say don't seek it.
Yeah.
I would say it's better to get creative and have a more developed mindset around what you can do with it, rather than let me just get famous, because I will tell you this, like, as a young kid that it was happening to very abruptly, it can get kind of like addicting. And then as soon as the virality starts to disperse and something else kind of comes around, you want to do, I'm trying to think of how I'm going to word this. Like, you kind of want to do things that you wouldn't like normally do to try to keep that viral fame, not like OnlyFans crazy or like going out and crashing out and like stealing stuff type of stuff. But it's like, your content will just kind of start to either revolve more around like what you did to become famous, or you start to kind of do what everyone else is doing to try to get famous again in a way. So I kind of went through a little phase where I was like, oh, I want to make sure I'm consistently still getting these millions and millions and millions of likes and views. But then I started to grow up and realize that life goes the way it's supposed to, and that it might have been a blessing that the dance and virality kind of died down, because that's where I was able to find my passions. And I found what I want to do for the rest of my life, and that's piano and instruments and film composing. And that's what I spend a lot of my time on whenever I'm just hanging around or just chilling, waiting for something else to come up. I'll just sit here and work on music, content too. My content more so nowadays revolves around like the mental health assemblies, and also just like what I'm up to now. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my content nowadays. I started picking up jiu-jitsu, martial arts a little bit, you know, working out. But that's kind of the story of how an entertainer goes. But the thing about social media is that it gives entertainers a way to kind of monetize day-to-day life while they wait for that next big hit. Like, back in the 90s, you would see a famous actor as a waitress or like a waiter serving drinks at a bar the next day, because like between jobs or between gigs, there's not really much that they can do. Just, yeah. Oh, I'm for that next job. But social media, it's like, hey, I'm doing this today. I'm doing this today. I'm doing that. I'm doing that. I'm doing that. Get sponsors, get brand deals, get people that are trying to promote their stuff through you. And that's how I'm making my money nowadays, obviously.
Brilliant.
Not at the extent of like the floss dance, huge viral moment and everything, but I make a good, decent living, and I do what I love, and I do it all on my own timing. And at the end of the day, that is a blessing.
Good. Well, we're very glad to hear it. If you want to check out what Russell is up to nowadays, you can follow him very simply at Backpack. A perfect handle. We wish you all the best, Russell, with your composing and everything else in life. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'll see you.
There we go. The Backpack Kid. What were your impressions of Russell there?
Yeah, I think he seems to have taken an early dose of fame quite well.
Yeah.
Not gone the sort of child star route that some people have gone down.
No, yes, he's not gone insane. He's not gone insane. So that's one positive we could draw. Yeah. We're going to head into a break now. Joey Page is here. He's downstairs. He's ready to come up. We'll welcome him in just a moment. But for now, enjoy this brief respite from the Pulse of the Nation, and we'll see you in a moment.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. We have our in-person studio guest here, the lovely Joey Page. Hello.
Hello, mate.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. It's just a bit weird.
Being back
in here, yeah.
Yeah, welcome. It's changed a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah, it looks, not that it wasn't before, but it looks super professional.
Yeah, all the. So we've had a few people come back from back in the day.
Dug them up.
Mark Simmons, Nick Helm. Dug them up. Who's
dug, no, dug them
oh,
up.
Oh, dug them up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought this was like some sort of niche YouTuber. Like, who's dug them up?
Dug him up.
We just had an interesting viral star. The Backpack Kid. You know the floss, the dance, the floss?
Yeah.
He invented the floss. Yeah.
Right.
Which is a fascinating backstory. I would say I wouldn't give him 10 minutes of airtime again. But he was good for a five-minute chat.
Right, okay. I'll try and last longer than five.
No, I'm being unkind. He was very nice. It was on a Zoom delay, so I couldn't jump in and interrupt him as much as I wanted to.
Are you basically hoping that he doesn't listen back?
Oh, I don't think he will. He didn't turn up late. I didn't think he remembered this was even happening.
Right, okay. But only because I had a guest cancel on my podcast.
Yeah.
And it was Harry Hill.
Yeah.
And then so slagged him off the whole episode. It's really hard to get something last minute. And then... when he came on the next week, he was like, I just listened to last week's episode. You basically just slugged me off for an hour.
Yeah, that is... Well, yeah. Hopefully he won't listen.
I'm going to tweet him.
No, oh, wow.
Well,
does he even
I haven't
Twitter?
Got X, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. Well, you're on Instagram. You've got at Joey Page Comedy. You do lots of lovely reels.
Yeah.
And you're promoting the last of your tour shows.
I got one left. There's no point in even doing that.
You've got two left.
Well, I don't think one of them's happening. Don't
really?
Worry about that.
Well, here you go. I'll
exclusive.
I'll read both of them, and then you can guess, listener. Just head to one of these dates, and maybe Joe will be there or not. 50-50 chance. Leeds, 19th of June, or the Rick Mail Comedy Festival on the 31st of May.
Read them again.
Leeds on the 19th of June, or the... Well, there you go. Therein lies the mystery. See if you can find Joey Page on tour. So welcome to the show. This is sort of a news... You had a music show here on the station.
Yeah, new music show.
Interviewed all sorts of people. You had Kate Nash, Wolf Alice, Kurt Vile.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff. Did you ever think you might get... Katy Perry, we just had a Backpack Kid. He was very famous for talking to Katy Perry.
Right.
Did you ever think if you went long enough, you'd get somebody of that sort of... A-list
level. Well, I mean, like, without sounding like an old person who basically just is completely obsolete to this show, Kurt Vile was a big one for me, and I've managed to stay friends with him, which is good.
That's,
like, we're still friends.
See, that's impressive.
He came and watched me do stand-up, like, last summer. Which
really?
Was, and
so
it was
still...
It was at a festival, it was the End of the Road Festival, and that's the stage is always, like, packed for that.
Mm-hmm.
But because he's, like, an American musician, he doesn't know how it works, so he thought they were all there to see me, so he thought I was way bigger than I am.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Great. That's
and
the perfect.
Pull the wool over his eyes.
Is there a musician, Jake, that you'd love to befriend?
Hmm.
Is there anyone that you'd like in your life?
Who would I befriend?
I think I like Elton John.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but he's quite friendly.
Yeah.
I guess. I most musicians I like, I think, are quite not great people.
Oh, that is a shame, yeah, yeah.
Which I think, you know, to be a rock and
as
roll
in,
star...
As in, like, arseholes or abusers?
Or a bit of both.
That's a bit of fun,
You've got
it?
To separate the art from the artist.
Yes, yes. And please remember that when you're looking back on the FUBAR archives for my show in 10 years' time. Yeah. So, look, welcome to the show. This is sort of broadly newsy, but not really. We sort of just talk about any old cock. And we start with very low-stakes news in the local Facebook forums. So we just got one post here. This is from Estover, Liam, Mainston and Thornbury notice board. There's a weird man riding an e-scooter around Keswick Crescent wearing only pants and what appears to be nipple clamps. Seems odd, so be careful. I mean, what's your experience of Facebook forums?
What's your experience of nipple clamps?
What's the best nipple clamp on the market these days, Joey? What do you reckon?
Just something cheap but with a bite to it.
Cheap, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
Well, first of all, none of those places sound real. I've heard of Thornbury.
As
a seasoned road comic like we both are, I've never been to Liam, Mainstone or Estover, have you?
No, I've been to Maidstone.
Have
you been to any of these places, Jake? I've been to Thornbury, but yeah, none of...
No, I mean, the one that jumped out to me was Keswick, but it's Keswick... That's not in the Lake District.
No, it's Keswick Crescent.
Yeah.
What would you do if you came across an e-scooter riding pants man with nipple clamps? What's your first reaction? Because we talked about how you'd react road rage-wise to an e-scooter.
I think I'd be polite. Just, you know, the sort of Thornbury sort of countryside-ish, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just the casual morning.
Yeah. So you go for a bit of a...
I wouldn't try to draw attention, you know,
to the fact that I hadn't noticed.
These places sound very sort of swingery kind of little towns. So maybe it's just on the e-scooter ride of shame home from the night before. You know what I mean?
Good for him.
Or maybe he's doing a sort of like Captain Tom style fundraiser where he just e-scoots around until he gets enough money for a jacuzzi.
I love that this is sort of the tonal polar opposite of Captain Tom.
Yeah.
A 99-year-old war veteran, like, shuffling around his garden versus a naked man with nipple clamps scooting around Thornbury.
So, turned out Captain Tom had quite a lot to hide, whereas this guy's got nothing to hide, right? Like, it's all out there.
If anything, you should take your money you would have given to the Captain Tom Foundation and give it to this guy.
This is probably the most trustworthy man in Thornbury, frankly.
There we go.
Yeah, he's not faking anything.
I'd love to get an update in about 10 minutes to see if anyone's had another sighting of him.
Yeah. What I'd love is if we got a sighting like 2 hours down the road and he's just like traversing the whole country by e-bike nakedly with nipple clamps.
How long do the batteries last on those things?
I don't know, actually. I only ever use them, like, hire them to go, like, the six-minute journey to the train station. So that I've never, like, been on a longer than 6 minute journey.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
No.
That's exciting.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That's what's happening in Estover, Liam, Mainston and Thornbury. So that's sort of the lower stakes end of the news, if we can call that news. But we also have here some headlines. I'm going to read them out loud to you. They won't be on the screens. These are headlines I've taken some words out of, so you can fill in the blanks. You can either try and play to win or you can play to piss about, basically. It's up to you when you fill in these headline blanks, starting with: incels need blank to re-engage with society, expert claims. So what do incels need to re-engage with society, according to this expert?
Shave. Normally,
they need to shave, yeah. I'll get very, very harsh when me and Jake are both sporting beards, okay? It's because you've got a nice, neat moustache.
No, I've got only a moustache because if I was to grow a beard, it would be a little incel beard that's all sort of patchy and weak.
I don't think you could. No. You're so, like, fashionable hipstery. I don't think you could ever come across an incel.
No, I mean, in lockdown, I tried to grow a beard, but it only came out my neck, and I looked very Amish.
Amish, I'd get that. I'd say you'd see more Amish than incel. An Amish incel. That's fascinating. I wonder whether you could create an Amish incel, whether that can sort of exist in a vacuum of social media and internet.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not big on the research. Like, I always get them confused with the Mormons, so I don't want to offend the wrong group. On purpose.
Well, the Amish will never hear this, and I think the Mormons are very, they're deserving of ridicule, so you're okay. Also, I've absolutely put the boot into the Pope earlier in the show.
Cool.
I think nothing's sacred here. You're all good.
But what that actually said that you said was the Popo.
Was the Popo, yeah. I put the boot into earlier. The Popo. But yeah, fuck nine. Is that it? I don't know. But I do hate the police, actually. Just on a separate note. What do you think incels need, Jake?
Just love.
Love, yeah. Love. Well, I think you're on the closer lines to, yeah, to a shave. Although maybe a shave and some love. That's shave the perfect combination.
But, consent it, because the whole point...
Consenting love,
consenting,
yeah.
Compassion. But if there isn't any, then, I don't know, a dance class?
A dance class? Well, yeah.
That kid, the floss guy seemed happy.
Get Russell back in. He did seem happy, yeah. So the actual answer is speed dating.
Oh.
Yeah, so Dr. Andrew Thomas said research from Singapore showed speed dating coaching can work on young men who have a tough time forming relationships. Have you ever been speed dating?
Well, I haven't always been like a huge touring comedian of the UK, but it was a period where I would fill in for a friend as the host of a speed dating night.
Yeah.
And some weeks it would be the same guys would turn up and they would just tick every girl every week. And they would never get anyone.
Oh.
But also, it served them right. Do you know what I mean? You've got to be...
Yeah, you've got to be engaging, play the game in properly. The process. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah, have you ever spent speed dating?
Never been speed dating, I'm afraid.
Have you?
No. I don't think... I don't know. I think I default to, like, sort of emceeing conversations. So I don't think I'd be my authentic self across, like, 5 minutes.
Right, you'd just be like, what's your name, where are you from?
Yeah, what do you do for a living? Drug dealer, that's what it sounds like, yeah. Pull out the Paul Smith,
Convincing them to applaud at the end.
That's my goal in life always, every interaction at the end of the show, I'm hoping, thank you, there we go, that's what I've been hoping for. That's why I let the backpack kid conversation go on for so long, I was waiting for him to applaud at the end. That was do you think you come across well in 5 minute chunks? Would you do well in a speed dating environment if you did go into this?
Maybe. I think I'm quite a specific flavour, so I think if it went well, it would go well.
But that's exactly what we were saying about engaging in the process. You have to be authentic, and then somebody will what you're offering.
Mm.
You know, I feel like you'd be good at speed dating.
Well, I was quite good at online dating.
Yeah.
Right, and on my online dating profile, when I met my girlfriend, a lot of girls had, I noticed on their profiles, no unsolicited dick pics.
So they put on mine. That out.
Yeah, they write that. And so I put on mine no unsolicited vagina pics. And so, you know, it's easy to come across funny when you're allowed to sit down and write the copy.
I used to, when I was dating outside, like, workshop with friends and send them my profile and they'd be like, damn, that's not that, that's too needy. Okay, interesting. Oh, fascinating. And you met your girlfriend via online dating.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, we should come to you for tips.
Yeah, I'm good at the photo. If you say I'm good at helping people select the photos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the secret to a good dating profile?
Look like you're having a laugh, I think.
Yeah, just having a good time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, make sure you've got some good outfits on.
Because
You
fashion.
You can show them who you are through what you're wearing.
I agree.
Well, I
kind of want to transition this away from a news show into a dating show, in which you are our expert. Yeah. I mean, I'm in a 3-year relationship now, but I'd love to. Are you in a relationship, Jen?
I met my girlfriend online as well. We've been together for 9 years.
I guess. Well, there you go.
Sorry, listeners. There's no chances for you here.
So you're barking up the losers. Wrong trees. We're accounted for. We're all Casanovas here in this studio. well, maybe we'll stick along this sort of romantic line. This is a headline, an opinion piece from the Metro. I had sex in blank. It only made things hotter. I had sex in blank. Where or in what has this person had sex?
On the Berlin Metro whilst reading the Metro.
Berlin Metro. So they've taken the UK Metro over to Berlin.
Yeah.
And they're on, I suppose, of all cities, it would be Berlin.
Yeah.
Do you reckon it's that?
Yeah, I think he's nailed it. I must be right.
Well, there we go.
The Berlin Metro doesn't have aircon. Like, just get hotter. Poor joke.
It only made things hotter, there we go. I wish I had, like, a ding-ding. All I have is this on my... Swish, swish, swish. That can sort of operate as our ding-ding sound. It's not actually the correct answer. I had sex in total silence. Only made things hotter. So sort of like,
is there any other way?
Yeah, just sort of awkward silence. No sound whatsoever, just... I had to imitate silence. I was like, what terrible radio.
Famously not good for radio.
No.
What do you listen to music?
Well, no, I think they meant, like, not making any noise.
Okay.
Not even rustling.
Not even rustling. Yeah. Not even a rustle.
That sounds quite impressive, if anything. Yeah. There's not even a rustle.
Well, I think that's why it's hotter. It's like the challenge of, like, keeping it, underground.
Yeah, underground. That would work for me, because it'd be like, oh, if my back went and you can't complain, just ratchets it up a little bit, you can't go, oh.
So you're exactly not trying to hold your pleasure in. You're trying to hold your aging, failing body from making
and the nipple clamps from and the bit before.
Cheap, but with a bit of bite. That's that's our sex advice here on Fubar Radio. This really could just be a sort of sex, and there already is a relationship show on the station. But I think we could put in a bid to the three of us.
Yeah, I'm making a comeback.
Yeah, we can come back to the station. We'd love to have you. All right, we always finish every week with a bit of a debate. Let's not do another sexy one. We'll go with this one. This is from the today.com, which is a sort of American news outlet. Mum says cashier scolded her for letting kid eat food in supermarket before paying. Who was right? This is actually in Tesco in the UK. TikTok user named Samantha, going around the shops. Her kid was very hungry and ill, wanted something that was in the trolley. She let him eat it, and then at checkout gave the checkout lady the empty packet and said, "He's eaten it, but I want to pay for it." And the checkout lady scolded her, and she felt very embarrassed. But what do you think about eating food before you've taken it out of the supermarket?
Oh, I mean, it's absolutely fine by me. Like, I used to do that a lot as a kid.
Yeah, very.
My mum would just do anything to get us around the shops.
Yeah. So this is the thing, is that the mother in the situation thinks that the cashier is not a mother and doesn't know the challenges of, like, trying to, like, corral children.
But I'd do that on my own. I haven't got any kids. Like, yeah. I'd just be like, I'm hungry. This shop has been quite boring for me.
You then take the empty packet to the checkout?
If they're lucky. If they're lucky.
So you're verging more towards just thievery.
No. But yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Okay, yeah. What about you, Jane? This is a very laissez-faire attitude from Joey.
Yeah, I think the detail that she kept the packet and tried to pay for it, I think that's fine.
Yeah,
I think
she paid for it.
At the start, I was unclear whether she'd just stolen some food, which I'm broadly against.
You're broadly against stealing food?
No, yeah, steal what you want. Yeah. Tesco's have got loads of money. Fuck them.
We are pro-stealing, pro-nudity, pro-nipple clamp.
It's always nice to scan something through as something that weighs the same but is cheaper.
Oh, always with the Krispy Kreme donuts. I know people still call them Krispy Kreme. Sorry, that's going to cause controversy. The Krispy Kreme donuts.
Krispy Kreme.
Well, because it looks, you know, it's French. Creme, like creme caramel.
Yeah, right.
Mm. Yeah? No? Don't agree?
No, I think you are probably right, actually. I don't think anybody is going to get on board, though.
They're from America, though, I think. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think they are meant to be Krispy Kreme. Anyway.
Named by the same person that named the Gulf of America.
Yeah. the donut hole of America. But you can put any flavour crispy creme cream as a plain donut, and it saves you, like, £2.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. But then people do this where they sort of, like, weigh a PlayStation and print out, like, an onion label.
Yeah.
And then they scan it through as, like, I don't know, 16 kilos of onion.
That's genius, yeah. I'm going to do that.
I mean,
what? Sorry, which Tesco's is selling a PlayStation?
That's Tesco.
I guess those big ones. Yeah, huge ones.
Big ones.
Yeah. I never had a shoplifting phase as a kid. I was always too terrified of getting in trouble. But I remember one kid telling me that the way to nick stuff from Woolworths is to get pick and mix and then put, like, stuff in the cup and then just buy it as a cup of pick and mix and you get an iPod.
So as long as you could buy something that fitted into the cup.
Yeah.
It's quite small-scale thievery.
Sure, you couldn't nick, like a garden chair.
No.
How many SD cards could you get in a pick and mix cup?
SD cards are expensive. Yeah, that is a good point, actually.
That's why Woolworths went out of business. But I guess there were SD cards when Woolworths was around?
Maybe. If they were, they probably would have been very expensive because they would have been quite cutting-edge technology, surely. Yeah.
It would have been pack of floppy disks.
Pack of floppy disks. Oh, you couldn't fit that in the cup. Defeats the purpose. I don't steal, but I do shop correctively, by which I mean I used to live next to an Asda that would not always flag up its deals on the system. So, for example, if it was 3 for 2 and it didn't actually scan through as 3 for 2, I would then, on my next visit, steal something of the value of the discount I should have received.
Right, okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Your VAR in your own shop.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I'm auditing Asda because they can't keep their own shelves looked
after. I think a bit of fun, that's how they could stop, like, small-time thievery, is if there was, like, a live VAR till check. So, like, do you know what I mean?
There we go, yeah.
They'd be like, we're just going to review that person... put the line across and be like, yeah, you asked another fiver.
Oh, heartbreaking. I would love to see that checkout. There we go. Well, look, we've covered a lot in a short space of time. You've been a great value. Go check out Joey at Joey Page Comedy for all your reels and your comedy and tours that may or may not be happening. Very exciting.
Yeah.
You can go follow Jake at Jake underscore the underscore bake. Jakey Break Your Heart at Edinburgh, Canners Gate 430. Thank you to Kieran in the production booth. Thank you to Fubar Radio at Fubar Radio for all your radio needs. I am at Stand Up Andrew. This is also a podcast. You can subscribe, rate, give us 5 stars, tune in every week, and we'll see you next time on Pulse of the Nation.
Fubar Radio.